Hey, this show has been out since 2016. It's been downloaded over 3 million times now. Yet, we haven't gotten to 1,000 reviews yet. So can you please help us get to 1,000 reviews in the year 2021 by leaving a review of the show on Apple Podcasts right now? While you do that, let's get to the business. The further away you get from an achievement, the less that achievement matters.
Stayolday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The self-confidence and discipline secrets that you're not supposed to know are contained in my book called The Mirror of Motivation. And here's what's great about it. I'm going to give you a copy of this book for free so you can reignite your passion, unlock your drive, and watch your energy explode. All you need to do to get this book is go to mirrorofmotivation.com right now. I know you're on your phone. Go to mirrorofmotivation.com. Tell us where to ship the book. I'll pay for the book. I'm giving you the book for free. All you're going to do is cover a small shipping charge, and we're going to ship that book to you worldwide, anywhere that you live. Again, that is mirrorofmotivation.com. You are now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, which is the go-getter energy that moves anyone out there, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together into one bundle, one philosophy, one mindset, one method, one approach. We have codified the system. We have a book on the subject. We got even more stuff coming that I'm not even going to talk about. But you're listening to the Daily Masterclass that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic, we are on part two of two. These are the business tools, the business skills that you do not learn by being an athlete, even a professional athlete. And I gave the background on this subject and why I'm talking about it in yesterday's class. If you didn't hear that one, make sure you go back and listen to that one before you listen to this one so you get the full context and you get the first three points that I gave you today. We're going to move on and get to the next points. So let's get right into it. Don't even need more introduction. So we're going to start on point number four since I gave you points one through three yesterday. Point number four, business skills that you do not learn in the sports world. Business is much more subjective, while sports is mostly objective. Subjective meaning it is based on people's opinions, people's thoughts, and people's feelings, people's perspectives and point of view, which means two different people can have two completely different ways of looking at things in the business world. Neither one of them is right or wrong because it's all based on people's opinions. So, for example, I remember when I was talking to, this is early in my professional speaking career, this is probably around 2016, when I had the idea that I was going to reach out to a bunch of professional speakers bureaus. For those of you who don't know what that is, a professional speakers bureau is kind of like an agent in basketball. So an agent in basketball, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a person who basically works as the go-between between the basketball teams who want players and the basketball players who want a job. So the agent's job is to collect a bunch of players whom the agent represents, and then the agent can reach out to a team like the Lakers or the Knicks or some team overseas, you know, Barcelona or Olympiacos or whoever, and say, hey, Mr. Olympiacos owner, I have two players who would be great for your team. And if they're able to broker a contract, then the agent gets a little piece of that contract. They get a little bit of money for being the go-between, the middleman, and making that deal happen. So in the professional speakers world, a bureau is kind of like an agent. They're pretty much the exact same thing. But the bureau is more of an entity as a company, whereas an agent in sports is usually maybe one person, or it can be an agency, which is a company with multiple agents within it. So I'm reaching out to these speakers bureaus because I'm like, all right, speakers bureaus often are where conferences and event managers go to when they're looking for speakers. So the reason why I had this idea, just to give you more context, is that a lot of times I would reach out cold to an event. I would see an event is having a conference coming up 6 months from now. So I would call the person who was responsible for booking the speakers and I would say, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I'm offering. I want to be the speaker at your conference. And I'm trying to sell myself as a speaker, and they would be paying me to come speak. And I would oftentimes get the rebuttal, well, hey, thanks for reaching out and we appreciate it, Mr. Baldwin, but we hire all of our speakers through a bureau. We work with XYZ Bureau. They would even tell me the name of the bureau. And they would say, we only hire speakers through them because we have a relationship with them. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? We have a relationship with them. They've always sent us good speakers. So every time we need a speaker, all we do is call our contact over there and they send us somebody. So, and they would help me out. These event planners would help me out and they would say, well, listen, Mr. Baldwin, we appreciate you reaching out. But, you know, if you want to do more speaking gigs, because they could tell that I was maybe newer to the game because I was reaching out in this way, not the traditional way. They probably realized that I didn't know the game as well as they knew the game when they were right. So they said, what you need to do is go reach out to those bureaus and you need to get those bureaus to represent you, Dre. So next time we call them and we need a speaker, they will say you're the person and then we'll end up booking you. But we're not even booking you. We're booking through the bureau and they're sending you. So they were putting me onto the game. So I said, OK, deductive reasoning. I'm a logical, smart individual. At least I think I am. So I said, all right, let me stop calling the conferences. Let me go call the bureau myself. Let me get the bureau to represent me. So when I called the bureau, I start calling bureaus and trying to get them to represent me. And while this seems like a pretty cut and dry and simple thing, because I did this in the basketball world. When I went to play overseas, I went to an exposure camp. I got myself some game footage and a scouting report. I start calling agents. I showed them my game footage and my scouting report. I got an agent to represent me. I said, all right, easy peasy. I'll do this again in the speaking world. Same thing I did in business. I'll do it in the speaking world. I conquered that. I can conquer this. Watch this. That shit did not work. And let me tell you why it didn't work. It didn't work because when I started reaching out to these speakers bureaus, everything was very subjective. It wasn't objective. See, in the basketball world, it was objective. I could show you my footage. Here's me dunking on three people. Here's me with my stats. Here's the places that I played. Here's a scouting report, a subjective scouting report of someone saying some glowing things about me. It was pretty cut and dry. The sports world is pretty objective. You play and somebody had 20 points and somebody had 40 points. It's clear that the 40-point guy had more points than the 20-point guy. There's no argument. But in the speaking world, if two people give a speech, who was the better speaker? Who gives a better speech? Who has better content? Who's more professional? Who has better material? Who would be better for this audience or that audience? That is completely opinion-based. It is not based on fact. It is based on opinion. So when I started reaching out to these speaking bureaus, because I was no more wet behind the ears, because I wasn't so seasoned in speaking their corporate language, and speaker bureaus, by the way, usually send speakers to corporate events. And here's something that you should know about me. I ain't corporate. So that's why the shit wasn't working, because I was reaching out with my, I don't even know what you want to call my style, but it is whatever the opposite of corporate is, that's me. All right. So when I was reaching out to them with my style and they would look me up and look at my material and see the way I was presenting myself and photographically, the way that I was speaking, the language that I was using and the stuff that I was talking about, they were like, oh, no. All right. This is not going to work. And that's why the speaking bureaus and Dre Baldwin did not mix very well. And still to this day have not mixed very well. And that was 5 years ago, that story that I'm telling you. And this is what happened. I remember I spoke to a couple of these people from these bureaus. And I remember one gentleman in particular. I don't remember his name, but he was like the talent scout at a speaking bureau. So he's the main guy who would talk to a speaker and make a decision about whether or not we're going to sign this guy and bring him in as one of our speakers. So then we can send him out. We can farm him out to do speaking events. And I remember talking to this gentleman. And I was taking notes on everything that he said because I just wanted to get an idea of what he was thinking and why he would be interested and why he wasn't. One thing that I remember him saying to me was like, I have speakers that I represent right now who are no way better than you. They would blow you out of the water. And I remember him saying that. And I didn't argue with him because I was really just wanted him to talk. I just wanted to hear what he had to say. And I wasn't going to change his mind no matter what I said anyway. But I remember after I got off the phone with him and him saying that he had speakers who are way better than me, my first thought was, how do you judge who's better than who? And the thing about the business world is that in many ways, there is no measuring stick. And if there is a measuring stick, the goalposts can change when you talk to person one and when you talk to person two, it's a completely different way of measuring. Some person might say, well, this person's better because they are more energetic. Another person say, well, this person's better because they're more calm and relaxed. Who's right and who's wrong? Nobody. The business world is super subjective. So what I understood as soon as that gentleman on the phone told me what he told me is that he was going off his subjective opinion. And that doesn't mean that his opinion is not useful, because what was he thinking about? Now, again, this is me just going to the next level of thinking. He's asking himself, all right, if I sign Dre, can I send Dre to one of these corporate events and the corporate event person be happy that I sent Dre over there? And his answer was no. And you know what? He was right. because to this day, I do not do corporate speaking events. Why? Because as I told you, I ain't corporate. I don't mix with corporate. All right. It just doesn't work for me. And that's all right, because there's plenty of business to be made outside of the corporate world. But there are other people who do the corporate events. And there's a certain way you need to present yourself, a certain way your website needs to look. There's a certain amount of content, certain types of content you need to have on the internet, and certain types of content that you should not have on the internet if you want to do corporate. And I do not qualify. I don't check the boxes. Let's just leave it at that. All that being said, the business world is very subjective, all right? Meaning it is all based on people's opinions. Whereas the sports world is very objective. All right. Who won the NBA championship in 2020 in the bubble? All right. Who was the best team in the NBA? Everyone would agree it was the LA Lakers. Why? Because the LA Lakers won the championship. There's no argument. All right. There's nobody who can make any argument that anybody was better than the Lakers because the Lakers won the championship. There's one championship trophy. Everybody saw the games. There's a scoreboard up there, so we know who the better team was. In the business world, you can go to a conference and there were three different speakers. I remember I went to a conference one time. There were three speakers. There was Simon Sinek. There was Brené Brown. And there was Daniel Pink. All three of them are best-selling authors. All three of them are white. Brené's a female. The other two are male. All three of them have a lot of years of speaking experience. Who was the best one? Well, it depends. It depends on your opinion. There's no objective measure as to who was better. But if I ask you who was the best scorer in the NBA last season between James Harden, LeBron James, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, all they got to do is look up the stats. And you can say, all right, James Harden was number one, LeBron was this number, and Giannis was this number. It's clear. All right, there's no arguing. All right, there's no back and forth. There's no opinion. There's no point of view. It's just straight up objective information. All that being said, if a guy tells you in the sports world that he scored four touchdowns, we can Google and look up his stats, yes or no. In the business world, how many people tell you they're a best-selling author? I mean, I go on an app like Clubhouse, which is one of the, at least as of this recording, this is like the newest thing that a lot of entrepreneurs and quote unquote experts, some of them experts, some of them actually not, are on. And I look up bios, and every one out of every three people's bios that I look at claim to be a best-selling author. Well, best-selling where? I mean, I can call myself a best-selling author. I'm the best-selling author in this house. I'm the best-selling author of my company. So I don't even use best-selling author in my bios. I don't use anything I see everybody else use, because then it becomes corny. And the whole thing is, a lot of people call themselves best-selling authors. A lot of people say they're coaches. A lot of people call themselves experts, or they call themselves, I'm a blank figure entrepreneur. I run a blank figure business, a six-figure business, a seven-figure business, eight-figure business. I teach people how to become seven-figure earners, eight-figure earners. There are so many people saying this. How do you know if it's true or not? You really don't. And to the point that my eyes glaze over when I start seeing people using these phrases. The fact is, you never know who's telling you the truth and who's not in the business world. In the sports world, we can Google your stats. All right, you can't tell me you score 20. I'll look up your stats and it says you have 15. All right, don't lie, because we can look that up. In the business world, we can't. So who you believe, because it really just comes down to who do you trust. When somebody tells you that they did something, do you believe it or do you not believe it? It's all based on whether you know them, if you like them, and if you trust them. And if you don't know them, don't like them, don't trust them, you may tend to not believe what they say. And if you know them, like them, and trust them, you'll believe what they say, even though they said the exact same thing. This is what we call subjective decision making. And this is what the business world is based on. When people like you and know you, they buy into your presentation, into your story, into your material. When they don't know you or don't like you, they don't buy into you, even if your stuff is quote unquote better than the next guy. Funny how that works, right? But this is something that you do not learn playing sports, because in the sports world, if you're good at your game, it doesn't matter if somebody likes you. All right, they ain't got no choice but to get out the way when you come down the lane for that slam dunk, because otherwise they're going to get dunked on. In the business world, how they feel matters a whole lot. Point number five. Today's topic, once again, business skills and tools that you do not learn in playing sports. Sports is temporary. Business is not. You can do business forever. And this is something that I tell athletes often. You know, being that I'm in my 30s, late 30s as a professional, as an entrepreneur now, but having been a professional athlete, sometimes people ask me, you know, Dre, it seems like when you're doing business, you're talking about, you know, you're working all day, you're getting into business, you know, go to programs, you go to conferences, you sign up for stuff, you sign up for coaching, and you seem to have immersed yourself in the business stuff. And people ask me, you know, why do it? Why do you take it so seriously and get so into it? And I tell people for two reasons. Number one, as I talked to you all about 2 days ago, the further away you get from an achievement, the less that achievement matters. Now, while you know that I'm a former professional athlete, every day I get further and further away from having been a professional athlete, which means it matters less and less that I was a professional athlete the further away I am from it. You understand? Which means it's becoming less relevant that I was a professional athlete every single day, which means I need to replace that relevance with some current relevance, which is what I do in the business world. That's one reason. And the other reason is this. This is something that I share with athletes who want to get into the business world, that when you become a full-time business person, whether you are working at a company, you start a company, you're joining a startup, whatever you're doing, if you're 28 getting into business, or you're 38 getting into business, or 35, understand that the people that you are working with and competing against in the business world, they have been doing business the entire time you've been playing ball. So when I started my business, and when I was reaching out to that speakers bureau guy, and he's telling me what he's telling me, I had only been full-time in business for a year, maybe, not even that. And I'm competing against people who had been in business the whole time that I was playing ball. So even though we might be the same age, they got like 10, 15 years of experience on me. And this is something that the athlete, the former athlete who's stepping into the business world, needs to embrace. And you need to humble yourself enough to understand, like, okay, now I got to show up and do the work, because I got to catch up to these people, because they're years ahead of me, even though we're the same age. They might be younger than you, but ahead of you, because they've been doing the thing while you were playing football. They've been doing business while you were out there, running on the track or swimming in the pool. Sports careers are short and temporary. The average length of an NFL career is 3.5 years, which means you graduate college at 22. By 26, your career is over, the average player. Average NBA is 4.5 years. So you might think, well, football is because people get injured and so much contact. Well, basketball is only 1 year longer, 4.5 years. That means the average basketball player's career is over before they turn 30. And it's not because somebody hit them in their knee. It's just that the careers are short. There's not a lot of jobs. Average baseball career, you might say, well, baseball players play forever. I mean, there's no contact whatsoever. Average MLB career is 5.6 years long. Not that much longer than a basketball career, just a year longer. Average NHL hockey career, 5 years. The average tennis professional, there's no contact whatsoever. You don't even touch the other guy when you're playing tennis, or girl when you're playing tennis. Average tennis pro retires at age 27 with $300,000 in career winnings. Now, you may be listening to that right now thinking $300 would be cool. It'd be cool if you had an extra $300 in your account right now. If somebody just dropped $300 in cash on the table next to you right now, that'd be great, right? But what if all you made was $300,000 in the entire time you've been a pro? And understand that a lot of tennis pros don't go to college. A lot of tennis pros turn pro when they're 16, 17 years old. And you're retiring at 27. So if you turn pro at 17, you retired at 27, and in your career, you made $300,000. All right, can you do math? That's $30,000 a year for 10 years. And you're 27. That's what you made. You good with that? That $300,000 doesn't look so enticing anymore, does it? This is the sports world, people. Sports careers are very short. And if your career is that short, even if you're making a lot of money, all right, how are you going to live the rest of your life on it? Let's say you made $5 million a year. Maybe $5 million might be a lot. Let's say you made $1 million a year and you played Major League Baseball. Let's say 6 years. Average career is 5.6 years long. Played 6 years, you made $1 million a year. So you got $6 million in your account. You became, and let's say you didn't spend a single dollar. That's kind of impossible, but let's just say that's what happened. You didn't spend a single dollar, played baseball for 6 years. So you got $6 million. We're going to do the math right here. All right. Let's say you turn pro at, a lot of baseball players don't play 4 years of college baseball, pro baseball players. So let's say you turn pro when you were 19. So now you're 25. You got $6 million and you live till you're 85. That's 60 years, right? So that $6 million over the next 60 years gives you $100,000 a year. Is that right? $100,000 a year. And that's not counting the taxes that you paid on that money. So you don't actually have $6 million. That's not counting the money that you spent while you were playing. So you don't actually have $6 million. That's not counting whatever lifestyle expenses you have incurred that are part of that money that you're going to need to spend. So you don't really have $6 million. So you can see that when you get out of the sports world, you still got work to do, even if you made what most people would consider to be a lot of money. Sports are getting better. The leagues, that is, at least the organized team leagues, like the NFL and the NBA specifically, those are the ones that I follow the most. They're getting better slowly at teaching their athletes, their current athletes, that eventually the game will end and they will need to prepare for post-sports life. Unfortunately, and this is something I know from firsthand experience, is a few years ago, the NBA hired me to go and speak to all the teams in their developmental league, which is now called the G League. They hired me to go speak to every team in the league about transitioning from the basketball world into the sports world. You want me to tell you what happened when I went and did that? I met a lot of players who knew of me from the YouTube days, and that was cool. And in every meeting, there would be, usually we would talk to two teams at the same time, like the day before or day after they played a game against each other. And let's say there'd be about 20 players in the room. Every meeting, there'd be maybe two or three players who were really engaged in the part of the conversation that I was leading, talking about transitioning from the business world, from the basketball world, rather, to the business world. And there'd always be maybe one or two guys who were already doing something, and then maybe one or two guys who were really interested in learning more about what I was doing or how I did it or what they could do with themselves. The other 95% of the people in the room, they were just waiting for the meeting to be over so they could get the hell out of there and get their mind right for the next basketball game. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is when you're in it, being an athlete, what you're thinking about is the thing that you're in, being an athlete. That's the focus. And that's, again, not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's hard to really do your best playing the game if you're doing business at the same time and you're not 100% focused on just the thing that you're doing. But this is kind of the paradox of being a professional athlete. The career ends very short, but if you're not fully focused in it, your career will be even shorter than that short that it already is. You follow what I'm saying? And unfortunately, especially in Black-dominated sports like football and basketball, many of us athletes grow up thinking that making it in sports is a lottery ticket and we're never going to need to do anything else in our lives. This is completely false. And then this is not the fault of the NBA or the NFL. It's just the way that culturally we get raised to think that if we, you know, become a rapper or get a contract, or you become a basketball player, make the NBA, or a football player, get drafted to the NFL, that's it. You're done. You won the lottery and you'll never have to worry about anything else. But we all have seen the stats. We've all seen the documentaries and heard the stories that whatever you make there is probably not going to last you the rest of your life. I mean, we just looked at the math. If you made $6 million and you're 25 years old, even if you had a full $6 million in your account, right, that's before taxes, how much do you really have to live off of for the rest of your life, even if you live another 60 years? Now, again, that's not counting possible investments and other things you could do, et cetera, et cetera. As a general idea, though, you understand what I'm saying, do you not? What we need are more athletes, especially male athletes, because this tends to happen with males much more than females, because the male-dominated sports generate a lot more revenue than the female-dominated sports. So the females usually don't have as much of a challenge when it comes to what are you going to do after sports? Because the females already inherently know that they're going to have to do something else, whereas a lot of male athletes tend to have some, for some reason, the idea that they won't have to do anything because their sports pay a lot more than the female sports. And the NBA players make a lot more than the WNBA players because the NBA makes a lot more money than the WNBA. It's just how it works. But we need more male athletes showing that, quote unquote, making it in business is just as cool as making it in sports. And I think slowly that tide is turning. I think slowly it's happening. We're getting more people who are more influencers out there who are cool, who never dribbled a ball, never caught a touchdown, can't dunk, but they wear a suit every day and they're doing business stuff. They're investing. They're doing real estate. They're into finance. They're talking about personal development. And that's becoming more of a thing that is cool these days. Whereas in the generation that I came up, that absolutely was not cool. Doesn't mean it wasn't happening, but it wasn't cool. It wasn't a thing that was being put in the front of our faces. Whereas nowadays, we're getting much more of it put in our faces, which is a great thing. Moving on to point number six, today's topic, once again, we're on part two of two, business tools and skills that you do not learn in the sports world. Number six, communication skills. And this is a really important one because as we talked about, I've spent a lot of time talking about over these last 2 days about relationships, how much relationships matter in making things happen in the business world. Because if you do not have solid relationships, you could be really good at what you do, but never be able to get your thing off the ground. If you cannot communicate clearly, you will fail in business. I'm going to say that again and leave that pause in there, pause there on purpose. If you cannot communicate clearly, you will fail in business. There's no equivocation to this. There are no ifs. There are no ands. There are no buts. You must be a very strong communicator to succeed in the business world. If you want to get a job, I just 2 days ago from when I'm recording this, just interviewed a new person who's going to be doing some work for me. And the reason that person got hired is not because of their resume, even though their resume got my attention. And it's not because of their skill set, even though their skill set matters a lot in my decision. The reason they got hired, because I interviewed more than one person. The reason this person got hired is because they aced the interview. How did they ace the interview? Because the interview was just a one-on-one conversation between me and that person. And their conversational skills, their communication skills is what got them the job. Their resume got them the interview. Their communication skills got them the job. You understand the difference between the two? And it's the same thing with you. Your resume, i.e. your skill set, will get people's attention, hopefully, but it's your communication skills that will get you the job. And it might be those, you might have to flip the order of those. So it might be your communication skills to get people to notice you in the first place, meaning your ability to build relationships, because you can't build a relationship with someone without communicating with them, right? Your ability to build relationships, i.e. communication skills, is what gets their attention in the first place. Then the fact that you have game allows them to justify putting you on or giving you a job or offering you the contract or, you know, hiring you to be the speaker at their conference, whatever the situation is. But if you don't have the communication skills, none of that's ever happening. Communication skills are pivotal in business. If you have great communication skills and a mediocre product, a mediocre offering, and a mediocre skill set, you can do great in business. Why? Because sales is communication. You can't sell something without communicating. Copywriting, in other words, when you go to somebody's website and they're selling you a course or a book, that's copy. Now, if you go to mirrorofmotivation.com, the free book that I tell you about every day, all right, you read everything on that page, I'm communicating with you. If you have a copy of the Mirror of Motivation in your possession, you own a copy of that book, it's because of my ability to communicate with you. You didn't know how good the book was till you got it. Or you had to buy the book first in order to get it. Or even buy the free book. I still had to sell you the free book. All right? You had to buy into what I was offering you through my communication, whether it's something that I said, something that you, or something that you read, one or the other. You had to buy into my communication in order to even find out if the book was any good. It wasn't until you had already bought into the communication that you found out about the book, because you couldn't read it till you got it. And this is how the business world works. Whereas in the sports world, you don't have to have communication skills at all. You don't really have to be much of a talker. I play ball with a lot of guys who I don't really know their personality. They didn't really talk. I could tell you about their game because I know what they did on that court, but I couldn't tell you about their personalities. They weren't much of a speaker. They didn't really write. They didn't really talk. They didn't say much, but I know if they can shoot or they can dribble, they can dunk or they can play defense or they're going to grab a rebound or not. In the business world, you will fail without great communication skills. In the sports world, you don't need communication skills, though it can help. I personally, and I've talked about this many times, I've written about it and spoke about it here on the show. One of the reasons I was able to make a career in the sports world is because of my communication skill. I wasn't so great as a performer that my performance alone was just going to get doors open for me. I was good enough. But there were a lot of people who were at my level of good enough to be pro. My communication skills is what put me ahead of a whole bunch of them. My ability to communicate through an email, my ability to communicate through a video, my ability to communicate and get an agent and entice someone to pay attention to me and listen to what I had to say and further a conversation. All of those things helped move my career forward. Communication skill. So this is how I was kind of learning business tools at the same time that I was playing sports. And this is what makes me uniquely qualified to speak on this subject. And the thing about sports is you don't learn communication skills in sports. You can learn them, but there's not a structural aspect of the sports experience that forces you to learn communication. Now, you might, depending on what team you play for, if you play basketball, for example, coaches are fond of saying things like talk on defense. They tell your teammate there's a screen coming or where you are, if you're going to help or what's going on, where the ball is at. That's communicating on defense on the basketball team, but you don't have to have that skill to succeed in sports. Now, on certain teams, certain coaches you do, but again, as a general understanding, you get what I'm saying here. In business, you need written communication skill, and in business, you need speaking communication skill. I'm going to refer you to some episodes of communication that I talked about here. Episode number 1399, working on your nonverbal communication skills. Episode number 440, clear and direct communication principles for adults. Episode number 568, the communication skills you must learn for life. Episode number 766, the seven biggest business communication mistakes people make. You definitely need to listen to that episode, 766. Episode number 1257, investing in your communication skills. Episode 1264, three communication skills you must master ASAP. Make sure you listen to all of those episodes about communication. If you are not a strong communicator, and if you are questioning whether or not you are or are not a strong communicator, you are not. All right, if you're a strong communicator, you know it. If you're asking, then you're not. You need to be a strong communicator to succeed in business, and all of life is a business. My business these days exists largely due to my ability to communicate. I communicate what I do. I communicate what I think. I communicate what I have to offer. All right, I do it every single day right here on the show. And if I did not have this ability, my business would not exist. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be doing this. All that being said, let's recap today's class, which is part two of two. Business tools that you must master in business, but is not taught to you in sports. Number four, business is much more subjective while sports is objective. In sports, we can objectively look at and measure your abilities compared to someone else. In business, everything is based on people's opinions. In other words, you need people to know, like, and trust you in business. In sports, it doesn't matter. Number five, sports careers are short and temporary. The average careers in football, basketball, baseball, and hockey, 4 years, 5 years, 5 years, and 5 years, respectively. The average tennis pro retires at age 27 with $300,000 in career winnings. That is not a lot of money. Sports are getting better slowly at teaching players that the game eventually ends and that they need to prepare for post-sports life. Unfortunately, a lot of athletes don't listen until they ain't got a choice but to listen. What we need are more athletes, especially men, showing that making it in the business world is just as cool as making it in sports. And we just need more people, period, showing that that's cool, so everyone is not just gunning for the lottery ticket of making it in the sports world, especially in the Black community. And point number six, communication skills. If you cannot communicate clearly in business, you will fail 100%. Business is all about communication. Selling is about communication. Building relationships is all about communication. In the sports world, all you have to do is go perform with your body. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. But in the business world, if you don't talk and communicate, you will fail 100% of the time. That is a skill that sports does not require. Sports does not teach, but you must learn if you want to succeed in business. Work on your game. Dre, all day. Hey, this is Dre All Day. I'll tell you one more thing. I just opened up a new texting number where you can send me a text message directly to my phone, where every day I'm going to be answering questions by text to people who are listeners of this daily masterclass and podcast. That number is 305-384-6894. Once again, 305-384-6894. So what you'll do is send a text to that number, just say hi. What I'm going to do is add you to my phone. It's going to send you a message where you can add me to your phone, and then we'll be able to have conversations directly. And through that number, I'm going to be sending out free swag, free copies of my books, let you know about events I'll be doing, book signings, when I'm going to be in your local area, things like that. On top of that, every day I'm going to be sending you some of my favorite quotes, some of my favorite strategies, frameworks, things I do in business, things I've done in sports, and things that you can get for free only through people who are part of my texting community. So make sure you are sending a text to that number. The number is 305-384-6894. Once again, send me a text right now, 305-384-6894. Send me a text. Let's have that conversation started right now. Work on your game.